We're reading Mark chapter 10, verse 35 to 45. Hear the word of the Lord. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one on your left, in your glory. Jesus said to them, You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to him, We are able. And Jesus said to them, The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. And when the ten heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called to him and said to them, You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Thanks, John.
Well, good evening, everyone. Good evening. Good to see everyone. Great to have another opportunity to hear God speak to us. We've opened the Bible already tonight. We've read and we've spent some time in prayer. We've been singing. It's been great to do that together. And now we get to hear God speak to us once more. So let's get into that together. All right. Well, I remember a conversation that I had with someone many years ago. I think they were having a chat with me about a ministry opportunity. And they said to me, Josh, life only gets busier as you get older. Now, that has always stuck with me, that conversation, or maybe just that phrase, because I've found that to be completely true. I don't know what your experience is, but I've definitely found as I get older, things just seem to get busier. Now, in fact, no matter how old you might be well into your years or perhaps just starting out, no matter what age you are, I think it's also fair to say that modern life in general is just as busy as it's ever been. Data that we can gather from those who keep track of these things seems to back that up. So, for example, the latest national data from the Australian Bureau of Statistics says that more than one-third of women and 30% of men say they are always or often have felt rushed or pressed for time. Now, it's the same for uni students as well. There was a 2022-2023 student wellbeing survey that was taken a few years ago. It stated that 7 out of 10 students reported being stressed at least once a week, with 1 in 5 of those students feeling that stress daily. Add to the fact that 86% of students are working whilst they're studying, and it just makes time pressure that even worse. Now, burnout is also an issue here in Australia, as I was looking into this. According to one report, almost half of Aussie workers say that they're burnt out. Almost half. And so, on one hand, we're kind of pushing harder to be more and more efficient, to do more and more all the time. And maybe technology helps us with that. And yet, at the same time, it feels like everything's just getting worse. It's like we're all living in a pressure cooker. Well, given all of that, I think you can understand that for those of us who are Christian, knowing that on top of that, we should also be serving, maybe can feel a little bit overwhelming. A little bit like trying to add one more bit of food to an already overloaded plate. I wouldn't be surprised, perhaps, if even tonight you're asking, why does it matter that I serve? Why does it matter that I spend time doing that in my local church or just generally through life? Why does it matter? Now, we're at a big church here, right? Of the two services that we run, the two English services that we run, this is the smaller one. But we are at a big church. Couldn't someone else do it instead? Well, we're going to take some time tonight to hear what God has to say about this as we think about this topic of serving in the Christian life. And we're doing this, as we said last week, we're in part of a current series called Five Signs of a Healthy Christian. And as you can see on the pentagon behind me, serving others is one of those signs. It's one sign that a Christian is healthy, that they're well-rounded and a healthy Christian, someone that God is growing. Okay, and so I come back to the question, why does it matter that we take time to serve as Christians, even when life perhaps feels really full? Well, first answer to that question is because serving is who we are. Now, for this is where we need to turn to 1 Peter 4, which is that passage we read earlier tonight. 1 Peter 4, and our verses 10 and 11 really stand out in that small passage that Sean read. And so to give you kind of to get a sense of the text, Peter's writing there to churches, so not too dissimilar from ours, and he's encouraging them to keep Jesus' return in mind. Okay, and as he does that, he takes a moment to show just how important serving really is. So he writes this in verse 10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Now, Peter's saying God hasn't just saved us with his saving grace. He's also entrusted us with gifts that we can use for the good of others. Hey, that's the empowering grace that Peter's talking about there, the grace that God gives us that enables us to live for Jesus. And so a little like a house sitter who spends time watering the plants, who mows the lawn, who feeds the pets, who keeps the house clean while they're staying in it. Well, Peter says we are stewards. We're not consumers, but stewards of God's empowering grace. And what that means is every one of us has a part to play. Now, Peter says that each one of us has received a gift. It's not just for the particularly gifted, it's for everyone. And so that means serving is not just for those who are best at a thing. Serving's not just for those with the highest capacity, the biggest motor. It's not just for those who always are putting their hands up and saying yes. And it's not just for those who know exactly what their gifting is. Peter's saying serving is for all of us because God's at work in each one of us, giving us these gifts, and he does that in all his people. At the same time, when serving feels daunting, which it no doubt it may do for you, maybe you're even tonight thinking about how can I do any more? Life's just too crazy. Well, Peter gives us good news. He says we serve, verse 11, by the strength that God supplies. So we're just like a firefighter, or just like a firefighter is able to kind of storm their way into a raging fire because they know they've got an oxygen tank strapped to their back. Well, so too are we as Christians able to go from hesitation to courage when it comes to serving because we've got God's tank of grace strapped to our back, so to speak. And so it makes the fire of serving in the midst of a full life, hopefully it makes it that little bit less daunting. Because we're not drawing on our own limited resources when we seek to serve. We're drawing from God's unlimited and powerful grace. And so that means that serving, when it comes to serving for a Christian, serving isn't an kind of optional extra in the Christian life. It's who we are. It's who God has made us to be. And it's God himself who empowers us to do it. And so if this is kind of our new DNA, it's worth asking, well, what happens then when a whole church actually lives this out? And what happens is this. We see that serving becomes one of the main ways that God blesses others. Okay, that's our second point. Serving is about God blessing others. Now, see, the thing about these gifts that we're told we have by Peter, that God's made us stewards over, those gifts are not for us. That's not their primary purpose. Now, we might expect gifts for ourselves on our birthdays, but the gifts God has given us by his grace, Peter tells us, they're specifically meant for others. Peter makes it explicit. He says in verse 10, he says that our gifts we are to use to serve one another. That's their point. And so if every Christian has a gift, has been given one, as we already established, then it means that serving is going to happen everywhere. And that's the beautiful part about being part of God's church. Because there's such a variety of gifts among all his people, it means that God uses it to bless our community and beyond in a number of different ways. So what are those ways? Well, three ways for you. There's more than that, but let's look at three. First of all, we're blessed as real needs are met. So new parents, students deep in exam sessions or seasons, a couple who's experiencing strain, maybe someone facing illness. God can act in any way he chooses to help people in those situations, yet ordinarily he loves to work through his people. That's the way he typically works. And so that's what it means to be a steward of God's varied grace. When you go to serve someone else, when you show up with a meal, when you give someone a lift, when you offer a prayer, when you come alongside someone with a friendly word, or you become one of the ways that God strengthens his church as real needs are met. Well, second, one of the blessings of serving is that it means we can spread the load. This one seems pretty straightforward. Now, you might think in life, when it comes to certain things, that everything depends on you, that it's all laid on your shoulders. But the truth is, when more of us step in to work on a thing, well, big tasks become manageable. They become more breathable, don't they? So, for example, a growth group. Well, we have growth groups here at this church. A growth group with one leader compared with a growth group with three leaders, which one do you think is going to be more sustainable? Which one's going to make it the distance? Now, more servers, generally speaking, equals more sustainable ministry. And so you tonight, by stepping up to serve in a way that you haven't previously, you could be the one extra volunteer that ends up being the difference between strain and health. And that's the kind of impact you can have. Now, thirdly, the third way we see blessing when serving happens is that God uses it to deepen our unity and our joy. So serving alongside others in ministry, serving shoulder to shoulder, it's a bit like glue. It really does help to bond us together. And when we're all pulling in the same direction towards the same kind of gospel goal, God uses that to draw us closer. He transforms individuals into teams. And those teams then become families. Now, that's one of the things we're aiming to do here at this church. If you were here this morning, you'd have heard Craig talk about this a little bit. That we want to start more teams ministry. And so it's not just kind of coming along if you're serving in an area and just doing your bit on your rostered week, but instead encouraging you to come along and serve as part of a team, as part of a group of people, all pulling towards the same goal. Now, it might be a specific thing for your ministry, but the big goal is you're all pulling together to try and help build up the body of Christ. And a change like that really does transform ministry. It brings us together. And I think as well it makes serving a more joyful experience. So I think it goes without saying that serving is good. It's not just good for us when we do it, but particularly it's good for those around us, because that's the way that God blesses his people, and that's the way God blesses people outside our community as well. It's how he brings his empowering grace to us, and it's how he grows what is good in his people. But serving isn't just effective. Even more than that, it is Christ-shaped. Okay, and here's our third and final point. Okay, now, for this, we want to turn to Mark chapter 10, the reading that that Sean just read for us, and Jesus' interaction with those two brothers, James and John. Okay, now, what happens there, just a brief recap. They come to Jesus with a request. Nothing much, just kind of the second and third best positions in the kingdom. Okay, not backwards and coming forwards, those two. Now, if you know the story up to this point in the Gospel of Mark, you'll know that Jesus has already gone to great lengths to show how important humility is if you're going to be one of his followers. And so clearly, James and John, at this point at least, haven't got the message. But the rest of the disciples, well, they haven't got it either, because not long after this, they end up getting upset when they hear that James and John have asked for this. And that's probably because they didn't think of it first. But then Jesus takes a moment and he shows them what true greatness is really actually about. Now, here's what he says in verse 42. He says, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them." Now he's saying that the typical way that we rank greatness in our world is by how many other people are serving you. Yeah, but that's not the case with Jesus. That's not the way he considers what greatness is. And it's not the way he calls us to consider greatness either. Okay, here's what he says, the next verse. He says, "But it shall not be so among you." Why? Well, he says, "Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all." Jesus has turned this idea of greatness on its head. He said it's not about how many others are serving you, but about how readily you are serving others. Now, greatness, in other words, comes through serving, through humility, not through ruling. And Jesus, well, he doesn't just teach this to his disciples here in this passage, but if we continue the story, of course, he embodies what this is about, doesn't he? And verse 45, that next verse, I think, really highlights this. And this is one of those great Bible verses that is really worth remembering, because it just gets to the heart of who Jesus is and what he's about. Here's what he says. He says, "For," okay, here's the reason why greatness is about serving, not about lording it over others. Why? "For even the Son of Man," that's Jesus, "came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus is saying serving matters because it flows from the heart of Christ himself. It's who he is, and it's what he came to do. By dedicating his life in the service of his Father, by giving up his life on the cross, well, Jesus not only modeled for us what it means to serve, but he even reshapes our own hearts so that we want to do the same as well. Now, you've all likely heard the story of Austin Appleby, who was in the news a few weeks back, the young student. There is a picture of him on the right there. If you're not familiar with the story, this 13-year-old lad, he's from right here in WA. He swam 4 kilometres through rough, cold, choppy seas for about 4 hours to save his mum and his two siblings, pictured there with him, after their family was swept out to sea during a trip to the beach. Okay, so this massive swim to get into the shore, and then I think after that he ran for 2 kilometres to find a phone to call the Triple O. Now, I reckon even now, so what, 3 weeks later? Even now, if he asks someone in his family, "Hey, could you help me with this thing? Could you give me a hand with something?" What's the answer going to be? it's plain as day, isn't it? They're going to say, of course I can. Of course I can help you. Why? Because you saved my life. That would be the most natural response in the world, wouldn't it? It would come straight from the heart. Now, Jesus did infinitely more than that for us on the cross. Jesus didn't just go for a long swim. He gave his life to rescue us. He pulled us out at the cost of his own life. And so that means he hasn't asked us to do anything that he hasn't already done for us first. But his costly service for us is all the motivation that we need to go and show costly service for others. He served us when we had nothing to offer him in return. He did it anyway. And so how can I respond then when he calls me to serve? And that's what we're picking up here in Scripture, isn't it? That there's a call to serve if you're a follower of Jesus. How can I respond to that call? Either formally or informally here at church, or just generally speaking in life. How can I respond? Even when life is busy, even when it feels like I'm under pressure, even if I'm not sure how to go about it, even if I'm lacking confidence, how do we answer that? Well, I hope you've seen the more we understand Jesus and his costly sacrifice for us, the more that answer to the question will just pour forth from us naturally, right? Straight from the heart. And we'll say, of course I can. I can help. Why? Because you saved my life. And here's the icing on the cake. And we saw this back in 1 Peter chapter 4. When we do this, when we live this out, when we follow our Lord and live the way that he lived towards us, and when we step into a life of serving others, in whatever shape or form that might take in our own specific situation, well, Peter says this. He says that we do so, quote, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Now, that's the heartbeat of all our serving, whatever our serving might look like. That's what it's about. It's about God's glory. That's why serving is doing what we were made for. And so, kind of with all that said, let me take a moment now to talk practically about serving at this church, what that means, what that looks like. Now, first off, before I say a few things about this, I know many of you here tonight are already doing this, right? You're in the music team or the sound team. You're helping with supper after church, or maybe you're helping to welcome people. Maybe you're even putting out the bollards on Sunday nights. And that's just the formal ways that we serve, right? There's even more informal ways that we can serve just by loving one another, saying hello to people you don't know well, all those sorts of things. Now, so much of what happens at church here in this PM service happens because you're already living out these things that we've talked about. But if serving is who we are, if it's how God blesses others, and if it is Christ-shaped, then it makes sense that in a church family like this one, that everyone will be part of the team. And because God's gifted us all in different ways, and we're stronger for that, it means there really is a place for everyone to be involved. Whatever your capacity, or whatever serving you might already be doing, or whatever you might think about your own gifting, there really is a place for everyone. And when you put your hand up to serve, well, you're not just doing that to fill a spot on a roster. No, like we talked about, I hope you see, you're becoming one of the ways in which God delivers his grace to his people. Right, that's a privilege that we all get to share in. And so here's what I want to ask of you tonight. One thing, I want you to consider having a serve chat. Hey, what do I mean by that? I want you to consider putting your hand up to have a conversation about serving. Now, here's how it works. It's going to be, there you go, a QR code on the screen behind me. This is also going to go out in the weekly email that we send out via weekly email newsletter. That'll come out this week. What I want you to do is get your phone out, have a look at that QR code. It'll take you to a page on our website where you can fill in details. And then one of the team here at church will get in touch with you soon to just have a chat, to have a chat about serving, maybe about areas of service that interest you here at church, maybe about where God might be prompting you to serve in. We could chat about capacity levels as well. That's fine. Now, doing this is not a commitment. This is not like signing on the dotted line. It is just a chat. But we want to have that chat with you, particularly if we haven't done so before. And so really what's behind this, why we're asking you to do this, is really that this is about our goal as a church, right? We want to be a place that is filled with healthy Christians. And that means as much as possible, we want to open up opportunities to serve together so that we can all be growing in Christ to be the people that God has made us to be. So that as we serve shoulder to shoulder in formal ways, in informal ways, in big ways, in quiet ways that maybe no one notices, that as we do that, we are simply living out who we are now in Christ. Who is that? Well, we're people shaped and strengthened by his grace. We are people who want to help others see who Jesus is, know him. Now, that's the life that we are called into. That's the life that Jesus has won for us. And that's the life that God delights to grow in us. So I want you to consider getting on board that way. And I'm going to pray now to close this off. Well, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, it's a wonder, it's a joy to be reminded once again of all that you have done for us in the Lord Jesus. Now, his costly service means that we have life and have life to the full. It means that we are rescued from sin, that we no longer need to pay the penalty that we owe because of the way we've lived, because of the way we've ignored you and lived apart from you. So thank you firstly for Christ's sacrificial service on our behalf. And I pray that you be at work in our hearts so that as we think more, as we consider more about who Jesus is and what he's done for us, that our response would be natural, that it would be flowing from the heart, that we would be seeking to respond by serving others just as Christ has served us. To work in our hearts, to that end we pray. We pray that as that happens, that our community would be better for it, that we would be a place where we love one another, where we look out for those who are doing it tough, and where together we grow to be more and more like the Lord Jesus and to be a shining example of him in a world that doesn't know him. Help us with that, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.